This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 13 من شهر ربيع الثاني 1444 الموافق ل 8 من شهر نوفمبر 2022. نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So the class is supposed to be after Maghrib, but unfortunately there might be Salat khusuf. You know, I said unfortunately because these things when they happen because of our behavior and attitude. And it's a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that somebody is going in the wrong direction. And things have to go, come back to their own correct format. Right? That's how it should be understood. We pray because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not happy with what we're doing, and this is what He commanded us to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaghfir lana adh-dhunub. So everyone is supposed to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fix his attitude and behave well. Everyone is supposed to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fix his attitude and behave well. So that's what the message is all about, right? We're going in the wrong direction. We have to come back to the right path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-sirat al-mustaqim. So we'll have this class, and then next week, bi idhnillah ta'ala, we'll go back to after Maghrib. And this class also will be exactly like the Riyad al-Salihin, right? Okay. وَإِن كَرِهَ الْكَارِهُ قَالَ وَعَنْهَا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. The hadith of Aisha. قَالَ وَعَنْهَا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ مَا ضَرَبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ شَيْئًا قَطُّ بِيَدِهِ لَا امْرَأَةً وَلَا امْرَأَةً وَلَا خَادِمًا إِلَّا أَنْ يُجَاهِدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وما نيل منه شيء قط فينتقم من صاحبه إلا أن ينتهك شيء من محارم الله عز وجل فينتقم لله تعالى. Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never beat somebody with his hand. Never. Never beat a woman, his wife, and never also beat a maid, a slave, you know. إِلَّا أَنْ يُجَاهِدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The only time where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beat somebody is when he participate in the jihad. So we're talking about beating in the sense of the tarbiyah. Please, assalamu alaikum. Please reduce your voice, please. Thank you very much. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never beat somebody in the sense of adab. You know, adab means giving tarbiyah to that person in the way he beat him. But this is not to say that the beating is haram in Islam, though it is not. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even advised a person to have a whip or a stick hang on the wall of his house so that the kids will see, you know, that father can beat, the mother can beat, but this is just to scare. You know, like the police. The police comes and stand in a public area, right? So that the people who are committing the crime will see him and not to commit the crime, right? It's not good for him to hide and wait for them to commit the crime first and then he take action. No, we don't do that. We come out first to do everything possible to make sure that they don't go against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So giving tarbiyah to the kids is okay, it's fine. You know, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not do, no, because he has the best of approach where everyone knows what to do. You know, including the children, right? That's why he never beat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Very excellent tarbiyah. Begin to ask, what really happened? How did he succeed in that? And in reality, who is changing? Is it Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the kids? No, Rasulullah. Yeah. The mu'addib is the one who is changing. Kids remain the way they are. Yeah, it's... You give them, they give you back what is supposed to be the result in relation to what you give. So usually you are the one who is changing as a father, not your child. Okay? Yeah. In show nashu al-fatiyan minna ala ma kana aw a'wadahu abuhu. It's very nice and an excellent system that people have to study it, inshallah. We will come and stop talking also and come and do our job in this matter. Zahid, inshallah. Next Sunday. No problem. Sunday, inshallah. Get ready Sunday. Tell Muhammad I'm ready. Okay, and this is your evidence. Right? Don't keep it there, tell something. So tarbiyah is one of the most important topics to be discussed nowadays. Very, very, very crucial and important nowadays for us to discuss it and to understand it correctly. The tarbiyah has to be the tarbiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Get it? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never beat a woman. No, for obviously he's talking about his wives, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, فَإِذُوهُنَّ وَأَهْجِرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِ وَضْرِبُهُنَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْمُؤْمِنَ first. Nasiha, when there is a flash in the house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nasiha first. Usually in the house, people didn't go for Nasiha. No, she just wake up and see her face turning into the other direction. Beaten, beaten, beaten. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nasiha should come first. And nasiha with wisdom, not as an authority. Yeah, the problem is he thinks he's a husband, so he talks in the way he wants. Well, that's wrong. He should talk as a partner, somebody who is nasih, giving nasiha to his wife with all kinds of humility and humbleness. Yeah, because he wants the things to be fixed, right? So that's how it should be done. If you give the nasiha, believe me, the problem will be dissolved. Unless if you are married to somebody who, at the first place, you are the one who was making that mistake. In the first place, you made a mistake, you take the wrong person who cannot be fixed by the nasiha. You know, the manhaj is totally different. You have manhaj which is totally different from her, and she has manhaj which is totally different from yours, which you will be trying to convince her, but she will not get to be convinced. So who is the problem? You are the problem, because at the first place, you do not bring somebody who can listen to the nasiha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says nasiha first. He says wajirun. If nasiha doesn't work, then you go for the hijrah, to stay away from her. And how do you do that? You stay away from her in the house itself. You can't go to somewhere else. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it should be in the house. Yeah, you don't eat the food, you don't sleep next to them, you know, things like that. And if a person is to do it correctly, if that is a love at the first place between him and the family, trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, it will 100% work. 100% work. That's why if you move to, forsaking it, that means you fail in the first category. When you move to the second one, you fail in that. And if you fail in the last one, believe me, you should always ask yourself. Not the last one, the second one. Because you shouldn't fail in the second one. But the problem is a person doesn't do it correctly. He also will come back, right? And approach them, and then khalas, that Adam is gone. Good idea. The manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to not raise up your hand and beat your wife. Yeah. That's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And trust me, if you are really, really a husband, and you know what to do, you know, in that kind of life, throughout your life, no matter what, you know, you would never reach that situation. As long as you let Sharia exist in the house, you would never reach that situation. You might get angry, you might explode, you know, this one is going to happen from time to time. You know, you're not living with robot. Yeah, you're going to make, she's going to make you angry many times. And you make her also angry. So the patience is required from both. But since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you the authority in the house, that's why the focus is on you. You're offended when somebody did something which you don't like, you know. What should be the action are you going to be taking? You know, you're going to beat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says nasiha first, then hijrah, right? Only if none of them seems to work and the problem is too big, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says beating can work. And what type of beating? Beating that would never leave a scar in the body. No marks, no anything. Yeah. Some people, she has to go for medication in the hospital. That's injustice, that's unfair, that's haram. Yeah, that's haram, haram. She has to go for medical treatment because of that. That's going beyond the limits. Nobody asked him to do that, and nobody permits him to do that, because this is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. But as I said, reaching that conclusion that you raise up your hand and beat your wife, I'm telling you, there's a failure in marital relationship. Big failure. Right. Big failure. So that's why we have to think a lot before the marriage to avoid things like this in that future. The same goes to the khadim, a maid in the house. Those guys are not your slave. They are just people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put your control over them. They're looking for that which you have. You should take them as brothers or sisters and observe Sharia in them. No beating. Prophet ﷺ did not beat him. Anas was with him for 10 years, 8 to 10 years. He said, he never beat me. Illa an yujahida fi sabilillah. Except when the Prophet ﷺ fight for the sake of Allah. Because jihad is all about beating, right? Yeah. Which jihad? Which fighting there is no beating in it? Even the coward one also, nowadays they shoot on the aeroplane and run away, you know. They also hit him with something. قَالَ وَمَا نِيلَ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ قَطُّ فَإِنْتَقِمَ مِنْ صَحِبِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يُنْتَاكَ شَيْءٌ مِنْ حُرْمَاتِ اللَّهِ. Nobody ever did something against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which caused Rasulullah to take revenge. Unless if that person is violating the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, that's the only time where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taking revenge. Other than that, no. Yeah. I don't know who is like this. No. And believe me, if you apply this in your life, you will relax. Yeah. No revenge. Just forgive. Yeah. Always forgive. You're going to meet so silly people in this life. But forgiveness is the best weapon you have. Yeah. Forgiveness is overlooked. Qalu salam. Allah says salam, salam. Just say salam and go. Which means you have no time, you know, to waste with this person who thinks he does have a right to violate the right of others. Abu Shafi says, إِذَا نَطَقَ السَّفِيهُ فَلَا تَجِبْهُ. That's a very good weapon. He said, when an idiot person speaks to you in a wrong way, curse, say whatever he wants to say, he said, فَلَا تَجِبْهُ. فَخَيْرٌ مِّنْ إِجَابَتِهِ السُّكُوتُ. You Allah, you're saving your time. You shouldn't have a time to waste with this person. But are we like that one? No. We have to teach him lesson. So what after that? No, we taught him lesson. We just want to feel that we taught him lesson. And the best lesson to be taught to that person is to observe patience. Don't reply. He will never forget that. But if you reply, what is that? One. Yeah, that's how it is. One. من برك فقد أوفقك ومن جفاك فقد أطلقك. Those people who are acting stupidly in it towards you, you're always having the freedom to do whatever. But whoever is kind to you, he is restricting you, you know. Sometimes they might act in the wrong way, but you always remember that good behavior. Yeah, that's why a person should be kind with the family, whoever you are dealing with, you know, because they need to remember this. And subhanAllah, whenever they do something wrong, they reflect upon the way you are treating them. That will come back again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after the divorce, he says, وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Because usually after the divorce, go and ask the wife if she can remember any good thing about the husband. And you ask him also. You might not remember anything. You remember nothing except bad things that they receive from those ones. But Allah says, لَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Because for sure there have been circumstances where the life was so excellent, very nice. So remember those ones. That's why sometimes they just regret it and come back and fix the issue and go back to the normal life. Allah says, لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِهِنَّ وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَ إِلَّا أَيَّاتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ. Allah says, لَا تَدْرِيلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا. So kindness is excellent in all circumstances. Get it? Patience is excellent in all circumstances. You know, except in the situations whereby patience is is wrong to be observed. Al-Amin al-Shanqiti says, قِيلَ حِلْمٌ قُلْ فَلِلْحِلْمِ مَوْضِعٌ وَحِلْمُ الْفَتَى فِي غَيْرِ مَوْضِعِهِ حُمْقٌ. He said, if somebody says, patience, tell them patience has its own place. Yeah, I'm patient when somebody wronged me. Yeah, but if I'm defending other people's right and somebody's violating them as an authority, do I be patient? No. Patience is wrong here. I must get that right back to the owners. Yeah. That's why when he deceived the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the first place, you know, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam let him go. The next time when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got him mutawarritan, you know, doing the same crime, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going to execute him. He says something to Rasulullah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a believer shouldn't be beaten from the same hole twice. Yeah. And in many cases, we are beaten from the same place 10 times. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال إلا أن ترك شيء من حرمات الله فينتقم لله منه. Except when they violate something, you know, which is part of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam getting very angry. And the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be preserved. وعن أنس رضي الله عنه كنت أمشي مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعليه بغض نجراني غليظ الحاشية فأدركه أعرابي فجذبه جذبة شديدة فنظرت إلى صفحة عاتق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد أثرت فيها حاشية الرداء من شدة جذبته. سبحان الله. And I said I was walking with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was wearing a garment that he got from Najran. And it said, the hashia, the side part of it is very thick, you know, very hard. And this Bedouin came, you know, and he held the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from the neck. He made it so tight on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, SubhanAllah, I can see the sign of that, you know, action, you know, that was done against the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, you can see the sign on his neck. He said, فَنَظَرْتُ إِلَى صَفْحَةَ عَتِكَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَكَدْ أَثَّرَتْ, you know. ثُمَّ قَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ مُرْ بِي مِمَّا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي عَنَّكَ. And then he just looked at the Prophet. Prophet Allah saw, look at him, he found the Bedouin. What can you do? This is their life, you know. So he looked at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam look at him. When he saw the Bedouin, he saw those from the Arab, he didn't tally. No comment. When he saw him and the man looked at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no comment. You know, he said, ask them to give me from the wealth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is with you. In some narration, because it doesn't belong to your father. See that? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-Arabu. In the village. So he says, فَالْتَفَتْتُ إِلَيْهِ فَضَحِكَ. The Prophet Sallallahu look at him and he smiled. SubhanAllah. He said he was trying to stumble Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but you know, all that he received from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to smile. He smiled to him and he told people, give him what he asked. He knows how to deal with those Arab. Because this one, you stay away from him, you reply with the same thing, he might leave Islam. He might be confronted by somebody who is coming, representing his people, you know. That person who misbehaved against Rasulullah, he said, Ana wakilu qawmi. He said, I'm representing my people. And usually when you have the wakala, you're sending them the wisest, the smartest one to go and represent you. So imagine if they send somebody who is not him, what is he going to do? So That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learned a lot from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How to deal with people and keep people according to their levels, right? Don't make people sawasiya in terms of treatment. Everyone keep him in his position. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu qala ka'anni anduru ila Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yahki nabiyyan min al-anbiya salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhim ضربه قومه فأدموه وهو يمسح الدمع عن وجهه ويقول اللهم اغفر لقومي فإنه لا يعلم. This hadith had been mentioned so many times. It shows how much patience were those messengers and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he himself, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I can still remember the time when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was narrating a story of one of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Darabahu qawmu, his people beat him a lot. You know, fa'admu, and they caused him to bleed. He bled. Fa'admu, wa huwa yamsahu ad-dama 'an wajhi. So while they're throwing stone and they're hitting him, and he was rubbing the blood from his face, he was saying, Allahumma ighfir liqawmi fa innahum la ya'lam. Saying, Ya Allah, forgive my people because they are ignorant. They don't know. Allahumma ighfir liqawmi fa innahum la ya'lam. So all of them are like that, you know. They don't know something called revenge. Right? They don't know something called revenge. So that you also have to take this into your consideration. They plot when you have authority over them, just forgive. Yeah, just forgive. They will never forget that. You know, they put you into trouble because they have the government. And sometimes this is how it is, you know. In some places, because they have the government, they have the authority. So they put you into trouble. And tomorrow you got them. Because now you are in also the system. Shall he take revenge? No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do that. When he got the Meccans, he did not take revenge. He just forget. Sometimes, subhanAllah, it hinder the people from making progress. Yeah. When I say don't take revenge, I'm talking about the revenge and if for your own personal interest because you have been harmed. Yeah, but if somebody corrupt the community, you know, in this case, the current government, can they fight back to get back the right of the public? Yes, they have to. This is their responsibility. Yeah, but what has been done to them personally? This one, as a Muslim, we're supposed to forgive. Yeah, as a Muslim, we're supposed to forgive. Dawan, maybe that is, I praise my, I've been so much. So, you know, for the first time, somebody gave it Ayn, you know? Okay, let's see, Abbott. If it connects. Yeah, this is Mudabbara Abdul Rahman. Khutta Mudabbara. Yeah. Revenge. We say there is no revenge, right? Uh-huh. The first misapplication of principles is here. Okay. Anyway, so Allahumma ghfir liqawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. So as I said, those prophets of Allah, they don't know anything about revenge. They don't know anything about revenge. So you should also take from the same attitude and manner. قال وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ليس الشديد بالسرعة إنما الشديد من يملك نفسه عند الغضب. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه قال he said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said ليس الشديد بالسرعة. The strong person in the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is not the person who has the ability to wrestle somebody down. قال إنما الشديد من يملك نفسه عند الغضب. The strong person Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is somebody who can control himself when he is angry. In a situation where he is angry, he can control his emotions. So that's the strongest person. It's not about how much muscles you have. You are so weak Islamically if you cannot control your anger. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best in this regard. It's hardly to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam getting angry with somebody unless if the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is violated. I still cannot access. The problem is the internet. Maybe our time is up. Should I refresh it? Racism. So it's not my internet, it's just the unless I have a partner. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قال ليس الشديد بالسرعة إنما الشديد من يملك نفسه عند الغضب. قال باب احتمال الأذى. There's a new chapter that will be talking about tolerating harm that comes from others. Yeah, question: is it possible for you to live on earth without getting harmed? You sure? They said there is a place which they don't even have police in that place. I don't know whether it's right or wrong, but somebody told me that there is a place there is no police in that country. No, maybe. But let's say there is. I heard that one of the countries, I can't remember which country, but they said they don't have police. Police. Yeah. That's me, they're very peaceful people in that place. But in that place, if it's true they don't have security, do people get harmed in that place? We have to bring somebody from that place to ask him, right? Yeah, if that place exists actually in reality, because this is part of our nature, right? I like the poet of that shair. He says, وَالظُّلْمُ مِنْ شِيَمِ الرِّجَالِ فَإِنْ تَجِدْ ذَا عِفَّةٍ لِعُلَّةٍ لَا يَظْلِمُ. He says, الظُّلْمُ مِنْ شِيَمِ الرِّجَالِ. Oppression is one of the attitudes of, nature of human being. He says, رِجَال, but it doesn't mean only man. All. He says, فَإِنْ تَجِدْ ذَا عِفَّةٍ فَلِعُلَّةٍ لَا يَظْلِمُ. If you find somebody who is not oppressing others, you should know that there is a cause for that. Al-asl annahu yadhlim. Yes? Allah says, innahu kana dhuluman jahula. If you find somebody who is not oppressing others, he should know that there is something which is pushing him not to oppress others. Could be religion. Yeah. He knows that Allah SWT doesn't like it, that's what. Could be cowardness. He knows if he oppresses, he's going to get in trouble, right? Could be shyness. So many things, are there. Could be somebody who just believes that oppression is inappropriate. He stays away from it because he believes it is not appropriate, not because he cannot do. So it is not, possible to live out of your house, no, even in your house, to live in this dunya without getting harmed by others. That's why Ibn Hazm says, if you ever think that you will come out of your house or you live with human being without getting harmed, he said, this is the type of jinn, insanity. And that's true, because there is no way for you to live with human beings without getting harm from them. You have different types of people. You have those who believe they do have a right over you. You know, they harm you because they think they can harm and they should harm. That's why Ibn Hazm has a very nice statement concerning taking action against those people who harmed you. He says, he's talking about the sabr al-adha. He says the first one is the one that comes, and the other that comes from the righteous and the good ones. You know that these people are harming you by mistake. He said, this one, to forgive them is wajib. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَقِيلُ ذَوِ الْحَيَاتِ فِي أَثَرَاتِهِمْ. You should forgive those ذَوِ الْحَيَاتِ. These are the people of respect, people of manner, people who are righteous. You know that this person will never hurt me intentionally. You know that. Deep down there, you know that this is just by accident. Although it is so itchy, you know, that you should forgive. He said, as for those people who think they do have a right over you, these are the ones that Ibn Hazm says, if they are doing it for everyone, because sometimes they harm everyone. If they want, you have to hold them responsible for what they did. No need to take revenge in the same way, but get them in a place whereby you can tell them, look, I have been monitoring you. I know what you're doing. And I know I can do everything possible to stop you from all of these stupidities. But and I always say that it's so significant and so useless. You know, I don't have time for people like you. That's why I did not do. But listen, if this is to happen again, you know, now I can forgive. But he is in your hands. He knows that he's going to be in trouble if you don't forgive. Now I can forgive. But if this is to happen again, I will definitely put you in that which you deserve. You're doing this to protect the community from his evil attitude. That's why you might forgive a qisas, and the government can say no. Although the qisas, the owner of the right, can forgive, right? Yeah, but Islamically, the authority, politically, authority can say no. We don't agree. And they will tell you, we are happy with your kindness that you forgive your brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ أُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. We're very happy that you forgive your brother, but this person has a very bad record in the community. And therefore, the right of the community has to be preserved. So between you and him, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have no right over him. But the public also has the right, and we are interested to take this right. So they are not overruling what you did, you know, but they are just apologizing to you that these are informing you these are two rights combined together in one place, and we are going to take ours. You forgive us between you and him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we're going to take ours. Get it? So this topic is going to be talking about the best in terms of dealing with other, the harm that come from others. The best reaction is to tolerate and not to react negatively. Okay? In all the advices we receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no place to my knowledge where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised you to take revenge. Every place, idfa billati hi ahsan. La tastawi al-hasanatu wa al-sayyi'a, idfa billati hi ahsan. Wa la'in sabartum lahu khayrun lis-sabirin. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always tells you, patient. Don't react in the same thing. You know? Don't be the same. You know? Always act differently. It's bad, you be good. Okay. Allah says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those people who control their anger, and they forgive those people who hurt and wrong them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves muhsini. Because sometimes you forgive and you do ihsan to them. You forgive and you do ihsan to them. And believe me, this is tested. When somebody did something, you know, to you, you forgive him, you know, they might not forget. I'll give you a story, but don't narrate it to anyone. No problem. These people are not listening. I remember a person that took our right, not just mine, but right of so many people, in a very critical moment. And that was the only thing that somebody gave him to give me, but it doesn't. And this is my right. Subhanallah, the one who sent, he cursed him. The one who sent the money with him cursed him. And he told me, don't even take that money. Even if he gives, just leave it. Okay, this is my money. You don't know how much I'm leaving him. But subhanAllah, at that moment, I have to look for other sources, and I can't remember anything. You know, in that middle of that tragedy where, you know, there's no any other alternative, he came one day, you know, and he was looking for support. Well, I remember I smiled, you know, and he did not give me my right. And he was looking for support to survive, to live. I went back, and then they asked me at home, who is that? I told them, so-and-so, what is he doing here? I said, he is looking for support. And what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to support him. So Allah, it's like a joke. They waited to see, am I going to do it? Yeah. I have 100 ringgit at that time. I gave him. I smile, I said, may Allah SWT concede your offense. And that's it. And today, I think I'm one of the, if not number one, to tell that person what to do. You couldn't forget it. So I always remember that if you're kind, that person will never forget that throughout his life. How much does it cost me? Nothing. Yeah. No, I did not lose. I benefited a lot after that. I wasn't looking for it, but alhamdulillah. So this is just an example that I can't forget of you being kind to somebody who is harming you. Yeah, they are the one who will lose, but you will never lose. Yeah, as Rahman said, you might lose 100 ringgit, 1,000 ringgit, but if you look at the future, what will come, the opportunity that Allah SWT will open for you from that way. Yeah, I'm not here to tell you how much Allah SWT provide ease from that direction. Only Allah knows. So I'm just giving you the example of the good parts first. And the other good one, leave them between Ibrahim and himself, right? If you want the same conclusion, do also. Yeah, so it is always like that. You reply with the best, wait for the best to come to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. That's why this attitude of ours, when somebody gets into trouble, the first thing we do is what? I'm talking about our practices. The first thing we do is what? To blame him. Scold him. To say so many things about him. That guy is traumatized. Even if he gets out of the problem, he will not have that much of respect to us. What is the best approach? Don't worry about his attitude and his man. Now he is in trouble. Get him out of that trouble first, as if he doesn't have any bad past, you know? I like the hospitals, you know? I mean, good hospitals. Good hospital. Usually, they don't know the identity of a sick person. Yeah. What do they recognize? Sickness. Yeah, subhanAllah. Somebody told me this in HKL, and I see it with my own eyes. And yes, it's true. They don't know the identity of the person who is coming, you know. That's why police might bring somebody who is criminal to the hospital. The hospital, do they give him what he needs? Yes. They give him everything he needs. After he finished, then they pass him to the police. Hospital is not police. They deal with, only sickness. And that's what the director, deputy director told us. Yeah, in this hospital, we know nobody except the sickness. And somebody comes here sick, then we treat him. And that's the best approach when you're dealing with people who are having bad behaviors. When they are in trouble, this is the best opportunity and a chance for you to give nasiha. But don't give it at that time. There's no time to give nasiha. But the opportunity that you can take from that, you know, get him out of his problem. As if there is nothing, you know, take him out, say, oh, mashallah, good, don't worry. No, is it okay? Tell him it's very okay. You know, he's trying to even mention what he used to do. Tell him, no. Now we have a problem. Please let us focus here and solve this. No. After everything cooled down, then you come and have a nice sitting with him. Look. What put you into this trouble is because of this. Believe me, trust me, inshallah, you will listen. You will listen, 100%. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ وَغَيْدُ وَالْعَيْفِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. I brought this example because of the ihsan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. Because you might forgive, but you still hold in your heart. Mostly we are like that. We say we forgive. Abraham says, do you forgive? But yes, I said I forgive. But I still not talking to him. And salam when he says salam to me, I reply in a very dry way, you know. If something good for him is to pass through me, I might not help. You know, I look for somebody else. But I said I forgive, you know. What kind of forgiveness? The forgiveness is just a symbolic forgiveness, which means I will not hit him in the way he hit me at that time, but I will look for opportunities to take revenge, but in my own way, right? But the best of the forgiveness is to close the page completely, as the meaning of as-safhu, fasfah anhum. Can you close the page? It's very, very difficult, you know. It's very difficult. Like that person who wanted to teach his kids the impact of bad behavior on the person that you're misbehaving to. He brought a nail, he fixed it to the ground, to the wall. You know, and he asked the child first. He would just hit it, you know. He hit it with a hammer, it gets inside. And then he told him, do you think the wall is suffering? He said, yeah, if it has feeling, of course it is suffering. Okay. After he finished, okay, remove it. He removed it. So now we remove the pain, right? He said, yes. He said, but what happened in that place? The sign is there. So this is what happened when you oppress somebody. You know, that person might close his eyes and forgive you, but it will be very difficult for him to forget that. The best is to try to forget. And even if physically you couldn't forget, but don't take action, you know, against that person because of that. That's more than enough as forgetfulness, you know. You get it? So ihsan is to go beyond that. If that is good, you know, you start with that person if he qualifies. Do you get the idea? That's ihsan. You forgive, you forget, you know, and you also bring good to him. So you always do this because you don't know what will happen in the future. You do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but life, it is always like this, you know. In the future, you might be in a situation whereby the only source of support you have in human being is this person. That's why it says, Ahbib Habibaka, Hawnama, right? The one that you love, give some space, you know. Not to hate him, but give some space, you know. And possibilities, because he might be your enemy one day. And those whom you take as enemy, leave some space, because they might be your friends one day, right? That's why I love the story of Waqi ibn Jarrah al-Kufi al-Ru'asi that was narrated by one of our scholars. Very excellent story. He was saved by who? By his enemy. That was the only thing they have. Even the one next to him said, we have no option. We just have to go to him. He was saved by him. That's why possibilities are supposed to be left. Don't exaggerate in everything. Love people for the sake of Allah. That's why they love people for the sake of Allah. Love people for the sake of Allah. Hate for the sake of Allah. You know, not for the sake of dunya. But keep possibilities there. This will help you to put precautions. Why, when you are cheated and deceived by a family member, it is more painful when somebody out of the family cheated you? Because you put all your trust in them, you know, you never thought that something will happen, and then when they do, yeah, that's why somebody says, although this statement is wrong, al-aqarib, that's wrong, aqarib, they're not aqarib, aqarib means scorpions, this is wrong, some of them. Yeah, some of them might be. And in this regard, when it comes to love and hatred, there is a principle that I will leave you with. Is do apply it throughout your life. Yeah. Let your heart be with this, right? It says, لَا يَكُنْ حُبُّكَ كَلَفًا وَلَا يَكُنْ بُغْضُكَ تَلَفًا. Yeah. Some people, when they love, they are not willing to hear anything wrong coming from that person. This person did no, cannot. Whatever you try, they will never believe in that. So, لَا يَكُنْ حُبُّكَ كَلَفًا. Don't make your love, you know, the love that you have to force yourself to like somebody. It's really wrong, and it's very dangerous. And we have a lot of situations like this. You just love him because you don't have any option. No, that's not the true love. وَلَيَكُبُّكُ تَلَفًا. You hate a person in the way you feel that if you have a sikkim next to you, you might get him. So moderation is always good. And Islamically, the best, you know, advice given to you by the Sharia is to be patient. to be patient and to reply with the best, with anybody that you're dealing with. Friends, family, who else I forgot? Wife, husband, you know, children, you know, be kind to them. ليس على حد قول القائل إذا العجوز غضبت complete. قال إذا العجوز غضبت فطلقي ولا ترضاها ولا تملقي. Yeah, these are the Bedouins. He said, if your wife gets angry, just divorce her. No need even to beg her. You still have others, you know, out of the house. You know. This is good advice. How many sisters you have outside? Millions, right? Why do you waste your time with one in the house, you know, if she get angry? Yeah. This is the manhaj of the Bedouins. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the relationship between you and your wife should be the best relationship. Actually, she should be the best friend you have. Right? You look at her as the only person you have, but in the right way. Allah says, عَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. So if somebody says when she get angry, just tell her, go. No. That's against the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that asks people to show kindness in all of their relationship with their spouses. قال ولمن صبر وغفر إن ذلك لمن عزم الأمور. These type of things, you see, I bring them, you know, from time to time because we do them. We relate them to the Bedouins, right? But we do apply them also in our life. No begging, no anything, no fiha. Yeah, you just have to do, or else. That's not the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You and your partner is all about identifying what to be done to fix the relationship and to bring happiness to the family, and sit down and understand that you're both human beings, you know, not robots in the house. That means she's going to be doing wrong things and you're going to be doing wrong things. So both of you have to observe the maximum amount of patience you have. Yeah. All of those bachelors before, those who didn't marry, which are the vast majority of the population in this masjid, you know, they don't see these things because they don't understand. But right after the marriage, you will understand what I'm saying. It's all about patience, right? Patience, patience. Give yourself relief. Live with human being, not angel. وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Forgiveness and patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this are one of the greatest manners, you know, in Islam. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رجلا قال يا رسول الله إن لي قرابة أصلهم ويقطعوني وأحسن إليهم ويسيئون إلي وأحلم عنهم ويجهلون علي فقال لئن كنت كما قلت فكأنما تصفهم المل أو المل ولا يزال معك من الله ظهير عليهم ما دمت على ذلك. سبحان الله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Abu Hurairah said, somebody came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I have relatives. And these relatives, I'm very kind with them. And they're very, very, very bad towards me. I visit them, they don't visit. They cut off any relationship between me and them. I go, they don't go. And I'm always kind with them, and they're not. And I'm always patient, and they're always people who take revenge. Whatever comes from me, I have to pay the price. So Ya Rasulullah, what to do? Because in this case, if you are to be asked, you say, why do you need to waste your time, you know? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have this. Because this, what you might be proposing might not be Islamic, you know. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him something which might be contrary to what we were thinking, you know. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَإِن كُنْتَ كَمَا قُلْتَ فَكَأَنَّمَا تُصِفُهُمُ مَلَّ. He said, if you are definitely in the way you describe yourself, he said, you are just like somebody who is taking Ramadul Har. What is Ramadul Har? Yes, well, the sand that is very hot, and you're feeding them with it. So what does that mean? It means you are on the right way. That's why the Prophet ﷺ interpreted what he meant. He says, وَلَا يَزَالُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَعَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ ظَهِيرٌ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا دُمْتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And you always have a support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody from the angels to support you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against them, as long as you maintain your attitude. That's why, if you remember, long ago when we talk about Silat al-Rahim, I know you already forgot that. Let's have a class and come. Okay, I talk a lot. If you remember last time when we talk about the Silat al-Rahim, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Laysa al-wasil bi al-kafir." Al-wasil, the one who is doing the Silat al-Rahim, he is not somebody who is doing the mukafa. Abdul Rahman visited me, that's why I come. If he did not come, I will not come. Yeah. Islam doesn't want this. Islam wants you to visit him because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Silat al-Rahim. Because he deserves, because he's good, because he's your relative, you know, because he's your friend, you know. Yeah. Somebody was visiting his friend in another village, and he met another person on the way. And that person asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm so and so person." He said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to my friend." "Where?" "In that country." He mentioned the city. He said, "Oh, in your place, you're going to him?" He said, "Yes." "Is there any personal, is he one of your relatives?" He said, "No." "Do you have any business with him?" He said, "No." "But why are you visiting him?" He said, "I just love him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And then that person told him, "I'm also an angel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me to you to tell you that he loves you." Yeah. Simple things. Getting Jannah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, أَقْرَبُ إِلَى شِرَاكِ النَّعَلِ أَحَدِكُمْ وَالنَّارُ كَذَلِكَ. Jannah is closer to the shoelace of one of us. And hell also is like that. Wallahi, getting Jannah is very simple. Although hell also is very simple. Because you have somebody who picked up something from the road, right? Where did he go? Jannah. Even that sister who was a prostitute woman who fed a dog, she did something more difficult than him, right? Because she has to go under the inside the well and bring the water, come up and then give it to the dog and get the reward. But that person is just walking. You know, he found something, just pick it up, put it aside. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shakar Allahu lahu wa ghafara lahu. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have so many examples in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will give you comfort and make you have husn al dhanna billahi azza wa jalla. But at the same time, hell also is very close to us in that way. So, ليس الواصل بالمكافئ. You shouldn't be somebody who is visiting his relatives because they are also visiting. In a way, if they are to cut you off, you're also going to cut them off. Again, this is very wrong. The Prophet ﷺ does not want any Muslim to do that. They are kind, they will be kind. They are not kind, the Prophet ﷺ said, you should be kind to them. Even if they are not kind, you should be kind to all of them. Ibn Abd al-Qawi in Manzumat al-Adab said, wait, Ibn Abd al-Qawi, even other books also you don't know, right? He said, وَكُنْ وَاصِلَ الْأَرْحَامِ حتى لكاشح توفر في عمر ورزق أو توفر في رزق وعمر وتسعة. He says you have to do the silat al-rahim حتى لكاشح. الكاشح is somebody who really hates you from A to Z. He hates you so much. As long as he is part of your family members, he is one of your relatives, it is mustahab for you to go and visit him from time to time to support him in life whenever he needs any support. What is the benefit of Silat al-Rahim? You get two main things, right? You get more other, you get other benefits, but the most important ones are increase in risk and increase in life. This could happen physically, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in your life, which is the most important thing, actually. To be able to accomplish the mission, all of your mission, and to reach your target within a reasonable, you know, time, duration. And sometimes, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless your life in the way something that you need to stay for 1 year in order to finish it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can let you do it in a month or even less than that. What some people cannot be achieved, you know, except with hardship. They have to spend a lot of days, you know, doing it and trying their best Allah SWT can give you that in a very short period of time. That's the barakah of silatul rahim. And you know, the scary part of this, you know, I know we have the risk. Allah SWT increase your risk. And the scary part of, you know, going against the silatul rahim is that a person will be cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعَلَىٰ سَيْتُمْ إِنْ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَنْ تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَمَكُمْ. You cut the relationship and the ties between you and your relatives. Allah says what? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ. These are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed. You get it? So try your best. Visit your family. Support them. Whether they like you, they don't like you, no, the point is, these people, they happen to be my relatives. You should be always kind to them. Believe me, sooner or later, they will remember you and they will reflect upon that which they are doing towards you, which is not good, and they will change, inshallah. So that's the last, inshallah, thing to be done. I said I would stop in 30 minutes, but somebody said no. So alhamdulillah, unless it is less than 1 hour. So we stop here, inshallah. And I guess the chapter also finished, right? Yeah. So we're going for a new chapter next week, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. If there's any question, let's go. The good thing about the class here, this question and answer session, right? In the masjid, no question and answers. But there should be. You should take some, even in the masjid, after the other. Yeah, those two or three questions until the time the Muadhin comes in. Yeah, the masjid allows. Some of the lectures, I guess, they do until they come and stuff. We can take 5 minutes, because it's 10 minutes, right? Yeah, we can take that 10 minutes and answer questions. Ibadat, yeah, questions. Because before I used to, we had to start hitting no questions, right? So if anyone has question here, please, you come up with it. Yes, no. Yeah, the current forex that we are dealing with is haram. Yeah. Why is it haram? Because there is an exchange between a currency and another currency. And unfortunately, somebody is taking his right, but the right of the other one is not being delivered until after 3 days. They have these two working days. And sometimes, actually, another evil thing also happened because the bank doesn't have the money at that time. The Prophet ﷺ said, do not sell something that doesn't exist. The bank doesn't have the money. Yeah, I go looking for $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. They have. If you go and look for $1 million, $2 million, you know, which bank will keep $1 million in the bank? They would not, because the money might depreciate and they lost. They have to wait first until somebody finalizes it, straightforward to you, to avoid any loss. So that's why the way to fix it is to go to the bank, which they will not agree to do that. They go to the bank and sign all the agreement, all the contract, you know, with the bank. And the bank should do all the procedures, you know, to finish all the paperwork. After they are done with everything is done. You should give them all the damanat. Guarantee that you're going to. They check all the legal signature, you know, in case you decline. You have to pay them the penalties, you know. If you decline, you have to pay them the penalty. This one, no problem with that, because you put them, they also spend money to do all of these paperwork. You get it? So when they finish, and then they will call you, I think your money is ready. Come with your ringgit, we'll give you the dollars. Yeah. So if they do it right on the spot, you give them the ringgit, they give it, they transfer the dollars to you, transfer the ringgit to this one is fine. That's why it's the currency exchange is not to be rejected. You know, it's halal originally to change the currency, but it depends on the way you are doing it. You get it? If there is a taqabul, you know, hand to hand, and the currency, there are different currencies. Let's say not just cash, but hand to hand. It might be cash, but not hand to hand. Hand to hand means I give him and he gives me on the spot. If I give and then he told me, I will give you after 2 hours. That's riba. I will give you after 10 days. I will give you after 3 days. That's riba. Yeah, it must be on the spot. I take he takes. I just give him and I take. I know, cannot. Unless if they are finalizing the transaction after 2 days. We do all the process now, but giving of the money, you know, submission of the money, the transfer of the money will take place after everyone is ready. A good idea. What happens nowadays is I pay you the ringgit, and you're going to provide me with dollars, but I have to wait for 2-3 days to come, my right to come. But you already got your right. Yeah, that's riba. Yeah. How to fix it? This is the only way to fix it. Yeah. The same goes to the way that everyone is doing. No. Should I say it? I'm afraid they will not come to the class next time, you know. The money transfer we do. It's also involved currency exchange. It also involves currency exchange. When you are sending ringgit to Saudi Arabia, and you are sending ringgit to Saudi. To Bangladesh. Dhaka is a city. Oh, Dhaka. I thought Dhaka, right? Dhaka is a capital city, yeah. So let's say I send ringgit from here, but I want my partner in Bangladesh, you know, to receive Dhaka. If I give the bank now and the bank is transferring the money right now, then it's fine. But if it takes hours to reach, that's riba. Because the currency exchange happens between you and the bank, and you pass the ringgit to them. Anyone, jinn, human beings, and anyone. The point is, when you give the bank the ringgit, they should send ringgit to Bangladesh. Ringgit. If they send ringgit to Bangladesh, that's fine. It can stay for 10 years. But when the bank told you, we will send, you gave them 10,000 ringgit, and they will send, I don't know the conversion, they send whatever taka they will send in that place, but they tell you, we will send you this amount of taka to Bangladesh. So that means that the exchange is taking place between you and the bank. And whenever there is a currency exchange, the Prophet ﷺ said, there has to be hand-to-hand delivery. You give and I take. But that one doesn't happen. That's why Ibn Uthaymeen and many scholars who talk about this, not many scholars at all. And subhanAllah, even in this contemporary heroes, they have conferences which they discuss this so much already. And they come up with the solution. But people say these solutions are childish. We're not going to do them. We don't care. You know, when Sharia says something, we just follow it. This is a test for us. When you go to Mecca, what do you do in the Kaaba? Go around, right? Like who? Children do this in their house, and sometimes tell them, stop doing tawaf. And you keep going. Why? Because this is what Allah SWT commanded you to do, and you're happy, and people are rushing, you know? And you go to the Jamarat, you know, you take stone, and you're hitting this stone in front of you. What is that? We take it as an integral part of our Sharia. We love it, and we do it because Allah says, this is what to be done. So that's why, as long as we know that this is part of the Sharia, we take it very seriously. Somebody says, no, this is childish, this is this and that. We have no time actually to listen to this. So what do I do when I go to the bank? The correct way is, if the bank accepts, they will not accept that. And go at the bank, okay, I want to send 50 ringgit to Bangladesh. Okay. How much you will send? Are you going to send ringgit? They say, yeah, we will send ringgit to Bangladesh. We'll send ringgit to his account. That one is okay. I don't need to tell them anything. They send. Did they do that? Yes, they do. Yeah, sometimes if you do things from another country, the bank, when they call you, you know, they will tell you, we receive $100, $1,000 from so-and-so coming to you. The bank here, will not tell you we receive ringgit. They will tell you, we receive this amount of dollars that came to your account. That one is fine. Even if it stays on the way for 1 million, it's fine. To get an idea, then the exchange is taking place between you and the bank now. They transfer the money, but when they put it in your account, they put ringgit. But you do not have the currency exchange at the initials, the bank that you started with. They don't do it. They send ringgit, they send dollars, they send whatever. To get it. But if I go to the bank tells me, we're going to give you Dhaka. Don't tell them I mess up the whole country, you know, and then they will not let me go in one day. So when you go to the bank said, we will send Dhaka to Bangladesh. Then you tell the bank, okay, no problem. Give me the Dhaka first here. Okay, you give them 50 ringgit, they give you 50 Dhaka, you know, and then you take the 50 Dhaka and tell them, okay, please, you're my agent. No, even say agent, they tell them, please, these Dhaka, send them to Bangladesh to my brother there. This is the account. They send the Dhaka after 20 years, after a million years, you know, it is not riba. It might be Gharar or some other things, but not riba. You pass that test to get the idea. This is what the bank will say. They say, childish. Why you just take the money now and then you pass it back to me? You know, no, they don't agree with that. But that's the only possible solution, you know, the scholars mentioned. Other than that, you don't have any solution unless if there is no any way. But many instances, there is no any other way. You can't send your money except just to look, close your eyes and stick for it. Yeah, but if you have an option, you have to go for that option.
If I send Dhaka first in Bangladesh,
yeah, but in Bangladesh, you send Dhaka, right? And they told you we will send Dhaka to Malaysia. Yeah, you have to be sure about this. If they tell you we're going to send you ringgit, you tell them, the bank, I'm looking for 10,000 ringgit in Malaysia. Please, I want you to transfer to my brother because he said he has to pay this fees, you know, and he needs 10,000. How much should I pay you in Dhaka? They said 10,000, 15,000. No? That's mean they are exchanging your Dhaka with the ringgit, their ringgit. You have to receive the ringgit right now. If they can send it right now, it's fine. But if it takes time, you have to wait for two hours, and that's
the ringgit I received is some profit.
I know it doesn't matter. That's one, no problem. Yeah. Because this is when the exchange is taking place between you and the bank here. It did not happen in the first bank. It is happening now. Okay. If I have the card, ATM card from Malaysia, when I go to another country, I talk to the bank here that I will be in this country. Okay, I will be in Bangladesh. They will ask me how long? 1 month. Okay, would you like us to open the card? Yes, I tell them, yes. They open the transactions there. If I withdraw money from ATM in Bangladesh, they get an idea. They give me what? Ringgit? They give me Dhaka. Yeah, they have the charges, you know. So that was the time when the exchange is taking place between you and the bank, when you put it in. It wasn't initially from Malaysia. No, right now it's taking place. That's why it's okay. It's fine. Do you get an idea? Your father puts money using Dhaka in your account, and then you use your card and withdraw. But when you withdraw, you don't withdraw Dhaka, you withdraw ringgit. Yeah, your father sent Dhaka, he did not send ringgit. You are the one who is demanding the bank, you know, indirectly to give you Dhaka. So when the bank lets you withdraw to give you ringgit, when the bank lets you withdraw the ringgit, this is when the exchange is taking place between you and this bank, not the first bank. If it is the first bank, then they have to send it immediately. That's why being a money changer is very tough. You know? I don't want to talk about what one of the Maliki says. Yeah, to stay away from riba, doing this job is not easy. Really not easy. Yeah. So look for some other. We have a lot of other things. Raman, do we have other questions? Yes, are you? Allahumma ameen. Close to Adhan. We pray Maghrib first. Have to. Yeah, because if you're going to pray the khusuf, the real prayer, when do you midnight. Yeah, trust me, from Maghrib, if you're going to pray the real khusuf, and you read slowly, midnight. Tell me, how much you need to read Surah Al-Baqarah calmly? 2 hours, you know, if it's around 2 hours, you know. I think the Prophet's last recitation is slower than that, because he said he mentioned that he's making all the mood, you know. Surah Al-Baqarah in the first rak'ah, and who is like Surah Al-Baqarah? 2 baqarahs, you know. Yes, give this count. Around 3 hours. Right? And you have Surah Al-Imran in the second rak'ah. Ruku also is the same thing. 1 hour, 4 hours, right? You have Surah Al-Ma'idah, and then the next one, and then how many hours? Let's say 15 minutes, you know? And then we go until you reach the last rak'ah, around 5 to 6 hours. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1. That's already, you already passed the midnight, you know? Unless you have the intention to make Jama, Maghrib and Isha, yeah. So what he should do, because the point is we have to pray, going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Maghrib also is prayer. It's far greater than the khusuf itself, actually. So we go for Maghrib, you finish, and then you go. Yeah, how do you pray? You just have to be moderate, because people cannot pray that long prayer now. Yeah. Be moderate. 1 juzu, less than a juzu. It's okay.
This is you to belong to you. Yes. They mentioned
that if you make it long, no problem, inshallah. Oh, I have mine at home. That's why I'm watching the watch to finish on time so that I can go home and pray with the masjid. They already told me there might be khusuf. Yeah. Inshallah, it will not happen. Yeah. Inshallah, it will not happen. And when it happens, we pray.
Question by I had a non-Muslim colleague whose father recently died. He wanted to raise donations for this. So I'm not sure whether he can make donations.
No, because it will not benefit him anyway. So it's a waste of money. But I have to go take that donation and give it to the father. Is not supposed to write. Yeah. Okay, take that donation and put it in another channel, another campaign to benefit any other Muslim. His family are looking for food to survive. Yeah, this one we can support them. But you make a donation for that person, we don't do that.
Question by
Sasha. So.
That we do upon delivery is known as perhaps in a few days. Does that mean riba?
No, it depends on what you buy. If you buy something that involves riba, it's riba. Say you're buying gold, you know, and you pay this cash on the delivery, right? This one, no problem, even with the riba way items, because you are paying when they deliver the thing to you. Yeah, so it's okay, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu
alaikum. Is it better to pray
alone? Both are okay. For the sisters, she can just stay home and do her long recitation and leave the imam with his ladies. Yeah. But for the brothers, it's good to go to the masjid and pray with the people. Even for the sisters, once she was. That time Aisha prayed at home, inside the house, when the Prophet was praying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. In the holy quality of being kafir, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, shukran, ila anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.